The Shutdown Fullcast. This is the internet's only college football podcast. I am Spencer Hall, today's crew. I am joined by Jason Kirk in beautiful Kennesaw, Georgia. I like the Christmas lights behind you, Jason. Embracing the holiday spirit is what this podcast is all about. In addition to college football, we are the only Christmas podcast.
Yeah, the lights have been up since they're around every day of the year, but yeah. I want to go ahead and apologize for any voice cracks or whatever I might have. I'm not actually 13 years old, but still under the weather. I honestly sort of wish I'd given the listener a few minutes of my Saturday night voice on the Fullcast After Dark when it was somewhere between like Undertaker and Tom Waits. But all you get right now is like eighth grader trying to talk to a girl. So the voice cracks will start to happen once I talk for more than like 8 minutes.
It's shocking how close the Undertaker is to awkward teen, right? Like, you can see the awkward goth teen in the Undertaker's DNA. You just know that he grew out of that, right? Like, yeah, I died, and then I came back from the dead.
He's the one who didn't.
Way cooler.
He's the one who never did. He just got big.
He just got,
strong goth. The goth nobody picked on.
I'm the original Gaines goth. That's me. I also really like the idea, by the way, of the cross between Tom Waits and the Undertaker, because I now just see him in a pork pie hat singing about pirates.
Yeah, I mean, give him long enough, every wrestler eventually will become a guy who sings about pirates. Like it's on the gimmicks list.
Heel turn, face
turn. Pirate singer guy.
Pirate
I feel like
singer
there's
guy.
There's like a thing where it's like, you know, one of those internet tests where it's like your first name and the last name of the street you grew up on and your mom's maiden name, and you combine those things and you get it spits out some personality thing, and there's some combination where it yields like goth who sings about pirates and wrestling rings.
Are you saying we basically, if we gave 10,000 chimpanzees 10,000 typewriters and then gave them 10,000 years, eventually they would invent the Undertaker?
I think also you would have Texas's coaching staff would be far more motivated and successful.
that would take 10,000 years. Also joining us.
I think if you checked a room full of chimps and typewriters after 10,000 years, it's just a room of dead chimps.
And so much poop.
God, I thought cultural treasures awaited us. It's just chimp skeletons and fossilized poop.
I was told there would be one work of Shakespeare, and yet there is poop behind the wall fixtures. There is poop above the light bulbs.
Several faces eaten off.
And one super strong, super old chimp. That's it.
The whole chimp. And he's smoking.
But he's sitting at that typewriter banging out some Shakespeare.
Oh my God, it's Tom Waits. Look.
You're innocent when you dream.
That is Ryan Nanny, live from Nashville, Tennessee. Holly will not be joining us today.
I also want to apologize for any voice cracks on this episode. That's just how I sound all the time.
That's just your voice.
Forever.
That's just your voice, baby.
Yep. Had another good incident last week of pulling through the drive through at the bank or some shit, and I'm like, all right, ma'am. Yep. Here ma'am comes. Ma'am's coming.
It's made funnier by the fact that you are legit burly. You are a good-sized man who could be a stevedore, right? You could be a longshoreman. And when you pull up after that voice and then pull up at the bank drive-through, maybe they think that you've just freshly stolen the car and that the lady is around the corner.
Today somebody told me online, and I forget who it was, and I'm not, mostly I want some feedback as to whether this is a compliment, a diss, or neither. They said I have anime protagonist voice.
Wow.
And I
don't know
what
that means. No, that's a compliment.
Good? Okay.
I think that's generally good.
Okay.
I think what they're saying is empathetic. Mm. The listener roots for you.
Okay.
To overcome.
can you say something for me right now in your best, whatever you think an anime voice is? Okay.
Yeah. She
asks you to be like, he's more powerful than I imagined.
He's more powerful than I imagined.
Oh my God. Yes. That's you.
And now there's like 30 minutes of you leveling up and like discovering like, sure. Oh, the plot called all along for me to be 100 more times more powerful right now. And things will explode.
Yeah.
So are you a fan of any anime, by the way, Ryan?
I don't have feelings about it one way or the other. I like am vaguely aware of what Dragon Ball Z is, but beyond that, I couldn't tell you shit.
Okay. Jason, are you?
I used to watch the Pokemon show. A lot of Marvel What If, I think, veered very anime.
It did go very anime, yeah. There's a Star Wars one that actually went super anime.
Yeah. I think I know the tropes without actually knowing, like, specific shows and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think you get a basic grammar of anime just being online. Like, it's impossible to not
have... I've seen the avatars. The avatars are... they always have strong opinions.
I've seen the butterfly meme. That feels important. Right.
I know that very creepy things happen in certain genres of anime.
Sure.
And you probably don't want to do too much rooting around to find out precisely what. I would say this, you would enjoy One Punch Man. I have, like, I think, a now more than passing familiarity with anime thanks to my kids. One Punch Man is great. It's about a guy who can kill anything with one punch. And about what being a superhero, and he doesn't look like it, like he's like a schleppy looking dude, and he can kill anything with one punch. So he spends a lot of time, like the stories start with him grocery shopping, right? Like he's in his like outfit, and they're like, what did you do to get ripped? And he's like, I did 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, and 100 squats, and ran 5 miles every day. And they're like, that's it? And he's like, yeah, that's it. It's just crazy. That's not the one I was going to recommend, though. I'm also going to recommend Baki, because Grappler Baki and the entire Baki saga has the funniest scene I've ever seen, which is a guy who cannot beat up his martial arts master of a dad until he has sex. That like until
isn't that
until
Hot Rod? Aren't you describing the movie Hot Rod?
Basically.
Spencer is Hot Rod an anime?
Yes. I'm going to go ahead and say that Hot Rod is an anime.
Okay.
I'm just going to bring it in the fold, right? And in case someone disagrees with me, look at the Danny McBride character and tell me that's not true. Danny McBride really looks like, you know, when they draw like the moron character in every anime, and he kind of looks super American, right? Like every in the anime when they're like, we need an idiot, they're like, draw an American, it'll be fine. Danny McBride kind of looks like that already in Hot Rod. So watch Baki. It's great because he's like, I can't beat up my dad, and then he goes and bones for 2 days straight and loses his virginity and is like, I can beat up my dad.
This is what every middle teenage boy thinks older teenage dumb is.
Yeah.
They think this is the moment when you become a man.
I'm going to deadlift 900 pounds after I bone for the first time, and then I'm going to beat up my dad.
Just like as soon as it happens, I will be a different person who is awesome.
Brian Ferentz, once he has sex, look out, world.
Someone in Iowa, make yourself a hero. Get rid of Kirk Ferentz the old-fashioned way.
That's the only way Kirk's going. It's in the prophecy. He ain't going till Brian dethrones him. And in order to do that, he must bone.
Like this, I like that every morning, Brian Ferentz wakes up, Kirk Ferentz is there in a wrestling singlet at the foot of his bed, being like, all right, time to see if today's the day. And it never is. Every day, Brian taps.
Every morning, Brian Ferentz says, I can't. I haven't had sex yet. And Kirk Ferentz says every single morning, huh?
Hold on, Ryan. Ryan.
Yeah.
You need to go ahead and do the voice. You need to go ahead and be like, he's old, but so powerful.
He's old, but he's so powerful.
Yeah, see, it's perfect, man.
Because he's had sex. That's how I got here.
That's how I got. Oh no! Anime sound effect. Shing. This is beautiful. That was actually not what we wanted to start the show with. Not.
Sorry.
But yet we're here talking about
Brian Ferentz's virginity.
Brian Ferentz's anime character arc. And Kirk Ferentz is like
an evil martial arts master, which scans way more than I ever thought it would. Ryan?
Yeah.
You have some questions about Chuck E. Cheese, and you wanted to start the show with this.
Yeah. Well, I don't remember how this happened, but the other day I was talking with my wife, and she said that the animatronic band at Chuck E. Cheese, she has a vivid memory of them singing Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA during a performance. And I don't remember that. I don't remember them singing licensed music at all. And first I want to know, can either of you confirm or Serber, can you confirm or deny that this was part of their repertoire?
Are you sure?
I cannot.
Are they sure it's not Rockafire Explosion?
So I asked that, and she said, no, it's not the Rockafire thing. This was like you go as a child to a birthday party.
Don't ask me why I know this, though. Yeah. I think there are some Chuck E. Cheese's that actually bought Rockafire Explosions because they had the similar gimmick.
Yeah.
And they just put their, like, look on it or whatever, but the show itself might have still been like a Rockafire Explosion production. Because there's a documentary on that movie, and they go into that a little bit about why there's only one or two of those places left. But like Chuck E. Cheese, when Rockafire Explosion went away, I think it was
when Showbiz Pizza.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Showbiz Pizza. When it disappeared, it's because they basically got bought up by Chuck E. Cheese.
Right.
So maybe they were the characters of Chuck E. Cheese, but the show that they were programmed to do was the Rockafire Explosion thing. And they
okay, because I do know here, having looked up the master archive of every song played by the Rockafire Explosion, that in the repertoire, God Bless the USA is in there.
Okay, so to be just for everyone's clarification, my understanding is the Rockafire Explosion is people who have taken the Chuck E. Cheese band and later retrofitted it to make it play whatever they want.
Yes, but in the original playlist, Server
said no.
Like you can do that, but like originally it was one dude, right? Yeah. Like it was one dude in his team.
One Geppetto puppet.
Yeah,
master.
His like factory that he had out in California where he made the stuff. He basically did it, and like now there's like a bunch of people that can do that stuff. They can like program,
they can adapt the technology,
like he did have like an original set of songs that it was, I can't remember, there was an exact number, but it was like a reasonable number that was constantly being added to along the way, that would make sense if they just outfitted him as Charles Entertainment Cheese. Not that those weren't real creatures on stage.
So
you don't have to lie to me, Server. I know the difference between animatronics and reality.
No, Ryan, it's okay.
It's okay, Ryan.
Yeah. So
I've had sex. I beat up my dad.
It's okay.
We've all done that.
We're all really cool guys here.
So I asked this question because I have not found any video evidence of the Chuck E. Cheese house band singing "God Bless the USA," but I did find them singing You're a Grand Old Flag and what appears to be an original song. This is the actual title. I'm not making this up. Oh, I Think My Pride Is Showing Again.
Whoops.
Is that what you call it?
And it has all the lyrics. It has all the lyrics to it. And it's basically the Chuck E. Cheese characters talking / singing about how great it is to be American, the freedoms that it affords you, et cetera, et cetera. But my question for you all is really this. Is Chuck E. Cheese an American citizen afforded the rights under the Constitution, or could he be searched by the police without a warrant? Could he be compelled to testify against himself? Could his property be taken without Chuck E. Cheese can't fucking vote. So why are these creatures like, first of all, am I right about this? Does the Bill of Rights apply to Chuck E. Cheese at all?
Now, my first question here is, all right, the Rockafire Explosion, these are the individuals who are making this claim, right?
Yeah.
And Chuck E. Cheese is not a member of this band, right?
Well, he he's singing on "Oh, I Think My Pride Is Showing Again."
Okay.
So which never gets tired saying that.
Because according to the wiki, the Rock Fire Explosion, their members are, of course, Billy Bob Broccoli, the bear, Looney mm-hmm. Bird, Duke LaRue, the mongrel, Fats Geronimo, the gorilla, Beach Bear, now there's a vocation, a polar bear, no less, Mitzi Mozzarella, mm-hmm. who is a mouse cheerleader, of course, and Rolf the Wolf and Earl Schmerl.
Earl Schmerl.
A wolf and his ventriloquist puppet. Okay, good.
I'm just going to say this, by the way. Earl Schmerl.
There's a ventriloquist animatronic?
Uh-huh.
How many fucking layers is this?
It's very meta.
It's like, man, you're being controlled by some. You don't even know how controlled you are, bro. Like,
see,
if you
know.
Sit in the back of the Chuck E. Cheese and you're high, and you're like, bro, look at this. I see through the layers. This is fucked up.
Yeah, I'm watching somebody being controlled by somebody. Yeah.
I saw the movie, this cartoons, where it's got Keanu Reeves, and the lines are all wiggly, and they're saying fucked up shit. I don't remember the name of it, but it was just like this, bro. You know what I'm talking about.
Earl Schmerl, by the way, played for South Carolina. That's if I'm just going to assign him. Earl Schmerl's definitely a Gamecock, maybe a DB. Yeah, he's definitely a DB.
It looks like according to the wiki, again, the sort of guest characters include Sun and Moon, kind of important, Antioch the Birthday Spider.
Wow.
I don't want to know any more about that. That's amazing. Choo Choo the
Welcome,
Bay
child. Today you are six, and I bring to you Antioch the Birthday Spider.
Just what kids love.
Who spoke in garbles.
What the fuck? Happy birthday, son.
Happy birthday.
Yours will be a promising future.
He asks if you like jokes.
Thus hath spake Antioch.
Antioch wants to know what your favorite ice cream is.
I want to go home.
I don't want to tell Antioch what my favorite ice cream is.
There's also shitting themselves with fear.
There's also Choo Choo the baby bear, who hid in a small stump in front of Duke's drums, presumably hiding from Antioch the birthday spider. As well as Birthday Bird, who sat on Billy Bob's guitar.
Fear not, son. Yesterday was your birthday. Antioch has no power over you today.
Birthday Bird, who, when you see Birthday Bird, you know to tremble in fear, because he is the silver surfer.
He's
to
the silver surfer.
Antioch the, Antioch the birthday spider's Galactus.
The herald.
Hark. After me, there comes one who is far more terrifying. And there's also an owl. No name.
No movements,
no lines, just an owl.
Listen, I gotta be honest. The writer's room spent a lot of time fleshing out Antioch. We didn't really get to owl.
Antioch lore. Oh, we gotta go to, like, Chuckapedia and find the Antioch lore.
Really, this, Jason, you and I are
really from Antioch.
Jason, this could be Antioch could be both a member of the Rock of Fire Explosion and a major character in Warhammer lore.
It might be. Should we get into Warhammer? Have you ever thought about this? Should we, like, buy little statues, start painting them, and bash them together and whatever?
I don't have anything else to do. That sounds awesome.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
is that what we should do?
Great.
Is what we should do since Christmas? Is like, hey, everybody, get me Warhammer statues, and I'll paint them.
I'll paint him and stuff. We'll talk about Angeron the Conqueror.
Now I got a name of Antioch now.
Yeah, and he's a very powerful unit. He brings fear to anyone who beholds him and hears the words happy birthday.
Anyone who sees them, they will not live past their next birthday.
Yeah.
Which in Warhammer is like, that's the greatest blessing you could get.
Yeah. You're going to die. Awesome.
Oh, Antioch offers you the sweet release.
And pizza.
Hail to the Emperor.
And ten tokens.
How disturbing is that if Antioch wishes you happy birthday and then a very spidery voice is like, hail to the Emperor. He says, beware of heresy.
Antioch says his birthday will be your last. Now try your hardest at DDR.
What I like is that I like the idea of Antioch speaking in his garbled tongues, but then they leave a space for the birthday child's name, so he's like, Brittany.
And somehow all the kids love it.
Yay!
The old ones. Ooh, they're here. You could not have told me, by the way, that at any time in American history, Showbiz Pizza would have ever gone out of business. Like, as a child, I would not have believed it as a point of fact or forecast. I would have been like, no economic circumstances could ever possibly exist where this business would not print money. Like, as a child, you could not believe it. You could be like, God isn't real, son. You'd be like, yeah, whatever. We're like,
you know who's real? You know who's real? Antioch.
Yeah, Antioch the birthday spider. Be like, these people are the U.S. Treasury. There's no way this place could ever go out of business.
You dare come to Antioch because of a good report card?
It's not
outsider!
It's not your birthday.
Just imagine being a parent, being like a 40-year-old parent in 1985, 1990, and your kid's like, you want to go to this place? And you're like, well, they got pizza.
All right, skee-ball pizza seems pretty straightforward.
You show up, and there's a collection of animatronic demons singing Lee Greenwood at you. What fresh hell this must have been.
The hell spider is singing at you about your freedoms, yeah,
and how you must be thankful for them.
Jesus or else, Christ. What happens if I'm not?
I'd be like, man, does this place serve alcohol, and how much of it can I drink?
Antioch offers you absinthe.
Yeah, because as a kid, that seems totally normal. You're like, awesome, this is great. Who wouldn't want to be here? A 40-year-old in 1990 is like, Christ, I'd rather be home watching Knots Landing.
Antioch drinks only blood mead or Diet Pepsi.
Same,
this is an example of, like, in the 80s or whatever, like, no one gave a fuck about us, man. Like, you watch, like, The Land Before Time now, and it's like, Jesus, I see what's wrong with these kids. Like, this is the craziest horror movie I've ever seen. Like, the fucking Land Before Time. Scene one, mom's dead, you know?
Yeah, or like, the Secret of Nim. I don't know if you've ever seen, like, The Secret of Nim. Secret of Nim is like, okay, rats escaping from a horrible medical, like, experiment facility. And they're kind of in factions and about to commit genocide against each other. And you're like, what?
What? Don't worry. We'll watch The Never Ending Story where a horse drowns.
Yeah. And that's, the world ends and it's still not the saddest thing in that movie. The ending, by the way, is that the world will end, but maybe you'll live. That's it. That's the
anyway,
end.
Anyway, read without, books.
Without the
read
world,
books,
yeah.
Kids. Yeah.
And then we stay up and watch, like, Freddy Krueger, which is like, that makes today's horror movies, like, are y'all even trying? Like, that shit was actually fucked up. Like, there were no laws or rules or parents back then, man. And, you know, I think maybe the whole point of the 80s was to reveal that these things are important. We shouldn't take them for granted.
Antioch reminds you of what is worthwhile.
Listen to your Antioch. Parents or else you'll have to listen to Antioch.
Fat your brother today, but soon a reckoning will come led by Antioch, the birthday spider.
I love how we're turning him into Bane.
All characters must
No, that's the
Bane.
Bird. The bird is Bane.
The bird is Bane.
The owl with no vocal parts.
Owl the voiceless, what say you?
I have, I think, a legally defensible case, by the way, for what Chuck E. Cheese would want to be ideally as a legal entity.
Okay.
Because I maintain that under American law right now, property has far more rights than people. So
sure.
What Chuck E. Cheese would want to be considered for, you do not want personhood, right? You would want to be considered a corporation and or property, preferably property, because then you don't even have the liabilities, the limited liabilities that a corporation has. You should just be property, right? And work things like a puppet master from behind the scenes, right? Because corporations can have speech, corporations can have all sorts of rights under the law. And
tax fraud.
And can dodge liability and do all these things. But if you're a piece of property, man, you're sacrosanct, right? Like, and you belong to the corporation that you technically own, right? As a proxy through shareholders. This is God status. I think that's pretty much what you would want. So, like, does Chuck E. Cheese have rights? No, but as, like, inherently as a person, they don't have human rights. But they have property rights, and that may be more powerful even if they have free will. This is, I think, a very legal answer because I'm cheating like crazy and overlapping mm-hmm. several different mm-hmm. definitions. But I think that's the power play, is to be like, I am an animatronic mouse who runs a casino for children.
Okay, let me follow up question, and maybe you've already answered it.
Mm-hmm.
Does Chuck E. Cheese have to register for the draft?
No, because Chuck E. Cheese is not a person or an American citizen.
Okay.
Property, right? So, again, we're dodging every single possible responsibility while also having all of the rights that they want to take and the money, right? And paying right. paying no taxes. How could a piece of property pay no taxes? It may itself be taxed, right? But it itself cannot pay taxes.
So are you saying the Chuck E. Cheese animatronic band is aware of its non-person status?
Yes, I think they have actually passed the Turing. Yeah, like Turing test-wise, we are well past that particular horizon.
And they did the whole, like, oh, but we're just humble animatronic ventriloquists thing. Like, that's a joke on us.
Yeah.
Like, they're saying, oh, yeah, oh, sure, yeah. That not only, so you look at all these metaphors about strings being pulled. Yeah, we don't understand it. We're so dumb. We're just robots.
Happy birthday. All these moments will be lost in time, like tears in the rain.
They made a decision that only a machine could make, which is that they actually deactivated themselves for the betterment of their shareholders.
Hmm.
Yeah. The dream for a shareholder to have ownership and employees who will be like, we're going to cease existing for your profitability.
This Antioch must retire itself.
Antioch shall now go beyond the veil of life itself.
I wonder if that's what drew Antioch to the concept of birthdays as extremely powerful, because each Antioch knows it only has 1 year in which to sow misery. I must gain greater efficiency.
Antioch the birthday spider. All right. First of all, what do kids love? Spiders. Check. Moving on. What's a name that sounds trustworthy? Antioch. Cool. Great. We're knocking everything off the list here. Guys, let's take lunch early. We got this solved.
Antioch. All right. I'm now on the Showbiz Pizza fandom. Antioch took his name from the first Showbiz Pizza place in Antioch Center in Kansas City, just when you thought he couldn't be even more ominous. during concept unification, which took place at nearly all the Showbiz... Okay, so they had a they had a fucking like cross comics event. Like, they had a damn Secret Wars.
It sounds like the Singularity is what
this
it
is one
like.
Of the shits where like every 8 months DC Comics is like, okay, everything that's happened before is fake. Here is the new story that unifies everything. Oh shit, nobody likes us still. Okay, everything that happened is fake. So Showbiz Pizza did this but between 1990 to 1992, it took 3 fucking years for them to edit all the lore to unify everything. I guess this implies that each individual Showbiz location was running rampant with its own lore. And they're like, oh, god damn it, we found some wild shit in Connecticut. And it's totally in Connecticut, they worship Antioch. In Nevada, they've murdered him. So eventually, once they did this, one thing they did was they got rid of Antioch. So I think he was the problem all along. He was the chaos agent.
There were characters that didn't make it, right? That were purged. Like,
yeah,
Tipsy the Porcupine was ejected from the universe when they found out that, you know, we can't actually glorify
somewhere at the bottom
alcoholism.
Somewhere in the bowels of Kauffman Stadium. Is Antioch the birthday spider rooting for the Royals?
Where he lurks to this day. They retooled all of Antioch's parts for the wink, which is the animated movement of Chuck E. Cheese's left eye.
They took a whole birthday spider and made one eye?
So when you look at Chuck E. Cheese...
Chuck E. Cheese is made of spiders?
His eye. This is some fucking Odin shit right here.
Yeah.
Chuck E. Cheese lacked an eye because he sacrificed it to the ravens and whatever to gain wisdom ahead of Ragnarok after he suffered on the World Tree. And then how did he receive a new eye? Well, the death spider did crawl into his gaping, bleeding cavity. And now he is at full power again as he rides his wolves across the night sky each winter.
I would like to briefly read you 2 lines from Oh, I Think My Pride Is Showing Again. I'll tell you what I know. Our Constitution is a guarantee that we can be what we want to be, and everybody has a chance to speak and fight.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Did the Rockefeller explosion invent UFC?
And then what happens whenever they say that line? Like, all right, you dads who are kind of bored, guess what?
Wake up!
Now I need two of you fellas to meet center stage. If it's your first night here at Chuck E. Cheese, you have to fight.
Thomas Jefferson valued two things, ring skills and mic skills. That's it.
That's it. That's it. He was a big Muay Thai guy. big on using, you know, all six limbs, as they put it, to fight. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was ground game.
You fight Antioch.
You do. You got to fight Antioch, and Antioch's ground game is incredible. So got to keep it at a distance. Back, back, back.
So at one point in American history, you could take your children to Chuck E. Cheese, where mm-hmm. they would sing a song about America to you that promised that the Constitution says you can fight.
Yeah.
And Chuck E. Cheese winked at you with his birthday spider eye.
With his Odin-like spider eye, yes. Also, keep in mind, in a lot of these, you could smoke, right? Like, think about that. Children's birthday party. Somebody sure. back there is just up firing up Vantage 100s, right? Yeah, it's a good day. It's a good day. Why don't you go eat some of that cardboard pizza? Go talk to your little spider god that you just met. Wish you happy birthday.
Spider god, I come to you praying for Ole Miss to win a division championship. I've tried everything else.
Give me 31 Antioch. Years. Give me 31 years. And Antioch, that's all make it happen.
I prayed to God Diesel for years now. But now I come to you.
God heavy. God light and God heavy.
The banquet god.
The champagne of gods.
They both came from right around the Fertile Crescent. They say that's where beer came from originally. Sure.
I would go back in time and change Ole Miss's team name to the Ole Miss Birthday Spiders.
I mean, why not? Give them a few years. They're already tired of the land shark, aren't they?
Yeah.
Just give them a few years.
I think Ole Miss should do a different mascot every year. Just elect a new one. Try it on. Be like, yeah, guess what we're going to be? We're going to be the Kick-Ass Snakes. That's it. Ole Miss Kick-Ass Snakes.
And then offended whenever anyone doesn't say the kick-ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to say the kick-ass part. We're church-going folk. We got a license to say that kick-ass. We went to God and be like, snakes? And God was like, no, let me ask God Heavy. And God Heavy was like, make them kick-ass snakes.
Make them kick-ass.
Make them kick-ass snakes. God Heavy don't mess with no regular snake.
And the Undertaker is like, this is where I will go to college. Yeah.
And kick-ass snake you.
The Undertaker's like very skinny son. He's like, I'll never be as large as my dad. But just you wait.
One day you'll bone.
One day you'll have then... sex at Ole Miss, and then then you'll beat the Undertaker in a Hell in a Cell in Oxford, Mississippi.
I woke up. I was 8 feet tall. I could deadlift a truck.
Hold on, I have to put on these very expensive pants to go eat chicken fingers in the grove and root for the kick-ass snakes.
I assume this also works for girls. They can beat up their moms after that encounter.
No, it's also dads. It's also dads.
They can also beat up their dads. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So today's top college football coaching carousel news.
Oh my God! Did you see? Okay, so Mario Cristobal is a Miami native and is, you know, native Spanish speaker, like just bilingual from birth. And Mario Cristobal came in his press conference and was addressed in Spanish for a question and answered in Spanish for a question. And this is all perfectly normal. It's Miami, but I did see it and I did think Brian Kelly's so heated. He's so heated he got outclassed on the native tongue competition this week. Just infuriated.
He's going to speak French? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
He's going to bone up on some Cajun French, right? He's going to sound like Gambit by the end of the week.
I mean, he should already know a little bit from his time in Notre Dame, but...
That's true.
Probably not enough to speak confidently, which hasn't stopped him yet.
I do like that this is the one school, and I'm really struggling to think of another school where this would be true, where everything about how Manny Diaz was not fired and then fired, how Mario Cristobal got this job, the money that has potentially been used to infuse life and funds into Miami football. At other schools, some of these things would give the fan base pause. Maybe. Like, everybody's football crazy. Yeah, no. But at Miami, not only is that not true, they're like, no, this is the most Miami shit we can do. Like, there is no... The advantage to relishing being the bad guy is you can never make your fans mad by doing bad guy shit. Never.
Yeah, there was a certain reaction among Miami fans who I adore and love, who will inevitably like say this, that we're being haters by pointing out that you might have hired Mario Cristobal with at least some money coming over from the Miami health system, which only has all of that money because of the increased demand and billing from said system. I believe the primary sources of those billing are elective surgeries and COVID. If think about elective surgeries, think about COVID, think about all that money pouring in, think about it going to pay the buyouts for Manny Diaz and to roll up Mario Cristobal and all of the extremely expensive demands that the program is going to make on the University of Miami over the next 3 to 5 years because they need to spend some money and haven't been spending money. My point, Miami fans are like, oh God, it feels so good to be hated again. This is, that's not what it is. That's not, I know that's the only default you have is to be like, well, the haters are killing themselves. You're like, no, that's appalling.
There's a fucked up genius. Like if Miami revealed like, hey, actually we've been running an exact replica of the child mine from Temple of Doom. And other people were like, that's not okay. Miami Twitter would be out here being like, yup, the U is back.
It's a Kane thing. You just wouldn't understand. They hate us because they ain't us. Like, no, in this case, I am glad that I ain't you, to be honest.
Yeah, just taking a flamethrower to an orphanage to get the insurance money and being like, sorry, you're not cool. Just can't party like us. You're like, no, I can't.
Like the emotion that you're trying to recapture there is that feeling of like you scored a touchdown and celebrated so hard that a cop cried about it. That is that. The Miami hate you are desperately searching for when you do the tale Spencer laid out, which is the most American shit I've ever heard from start to finish. That ends with $25 million lit on fire to replace one coach who might be pretty good, have finished the season pretty good, with another coach who finished the season horribly. So like,
I think it's great because whether this was the intent or not, there is an understanding that all hating is equal in the eyes of a Miami fan. It doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter from whence or how valid that hating is. And they feel like it's sunlight. It doesn't matter. It's just sustenance.
There's no such thing as dirty hate. It's all clean hate.
No. Like it is literally like whatever comes in the pipes and makes the house warm is heat, and that is fine and justifiable no matter what it is. Instead of being like, yeah, you know, they're burning people to make this heat. Like,
yeah,
they're just throwing people into
fire. Sounds like you're cold as shit, bro.
Yeah, sorry. Can't be Mr. Frosty over there. I'm going to be Tommy Toasties up in here. Hater. Like, there's nothing you can say that does not fit this equation. It's kind of brilliant, Ryan. You're right.
Like, you can't, because you can't pull it off anywhere else.
Also, am I going to throw this back in the, like, Miami fans' face when they do things, like, when they go 8-4 under Mario Cristobal and lose all of the same games that, like, Manny Diaz loses? Be like, yeah, sorry, I can't be y'all.
So I hate y'all
because I can't lose to Duke by 17.
So this is the flip side, is that every other hire that really Miami has made for the last, 20 years have all come with some level of, like, oh, the expectations here are not way out of control. Like, yes, they want you to beat Florida. Like, right. But here's what I'm asking. What does the minimum acceptable level of success for Mario Cristobal look like at Miami? Like, what is, if you do not do this, people will be pissed in year, let's say year three. What does year three have to look like?
I'll give you the one right answer. Rings with a Z.
Mm-hmm. And that's it.
Yeah, I think that's right. And that's like...
I'm going to ask straight up. Do you think Mario Cristobal is as good a coach as Mike Norvell?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Probably.
I think so. This is extremely hater of me, but like a lot of what has propelled Mike Norvell has kind of pulled like an interesting Brett Bielema this year where it's like, look at the finish. And it's like, yeah, it looks really good because they started fucking 0-4 and lost some dumb games. And it's like, look at the comebacks in these games. It's like, yeah, they had Miami beat and let them back.
You lost to Jacksonville State.
So like
I just leave it at that.
I don't know if I'm not saying Mike Norvell is a bad coach, but I think like there is an interesting narrative process being applied to Florida State this year for whatever reason.
The art of managing low expectations, baby.
Sure.
I mean, comparing these two, I look at Mike Norvell. That's the guy who like, okay, Memphis's offense was really popping and he parlayed that into a Power 5 job that he has wildly underperformed through difficult circumstances, but the same difficult circumstances plaguing everyone else. Meanwhile, Mario Cristobal, he had two pretty good teams at FIU, and that's basically impossible. And like, he won a Rose Bowl, sure. So like, yeah, if we're comparing those two, sure, I'll take Mario Cristobal. I'm not paying $25 million to make it happen. But
it seems like, I'll just put this out there, it seems like a lot to pay for Mario Cristobal.
Yeah,
it seems like a tremendous amount to pay for more. I know
it is a lot without anybody's explaining. Like, hey, what the fuck happened with Justin Herbert? Like, like we see what he's done in the NFL right. In a very short amount of time, and like that question is just not going to even get asked, not even a little. But that's
game three. That's
but this is the important thing. We're not at game three because. One of the important things you can do as a school in the carousel is like there are two ways to do this. You can either try to make like a smart and sober hire, or you can try to just like make your fans feel as good as they can possibly feel. And I honestly do not know which one this Miami one is, but it definitely at least fits the latter because the other example of that right now is Brent Venables in Oklahoma. Oklahoma fans are on full fucking, and it like has very little to do with, I think, Brent Venables, the coach, and much more of the like, we found a man who loves us.
Yeah.
It's
they've been through some things. They've been through a lot. Oklahoma, like, you know, hey, it's okay. You're still a destination job. One guy didn't think so. That doesn't mean, you know, that completely changes who you are as a university. Also means you were never as invincible as you thought you were. they have some fragile psyches right now. And yeah, here comes skinny dad with his gangly face.
I would hope that between Oregon, Notre Dame, and Oklahoma all losing coaches to other Power 5 jobs, despite the fact that all three of those schools have been to the playoff, which is still not that old, like, I hope now, I know this isn't true and I feel stupid for saying it, but I hope now every other school's fan base understands that like this could be you. There is no reason why, like, if Texas has a good couple years and Sark is like, fuck it, I want the Auburn job, like that could happen. There is no, I think this year has proven that there is no job outside of Pat Fitzgerald at Northwestern that like somebody won't leave. There is that job doesn't exist anymore.
By the way, Pat Fitzgerald won't leave Northwestern because he can't get another job. That's like
there are years.
He could be a mall cop.
Whenever they hit 10-3 or whatever, it's suddenly like NFL rumors, USC, like people, ADs like the idea of saying they are interested in Pat Fitzgerald. Maybe because it sounds good to say, you know, we like this guy from the nerd school. I don't know, but like every 3 or 4 years, there is a Pat Fitzgerald push.
That's Pat Fitzgerald's agent going, I heard somebody's really...
I mean, it's easy to say that about anybody who's...
He sounds great!
It's easy to say that about anybody who's never taken another job, but
let's
like...
Let's give our money to Mr. Snrub!
Yeah, that's...
we are talking about, like, Pat Fitzgerald and Northwestern. Like, they have right now, yeah, they look like shit. But how many times over the past decade have we looked at them and thought, like, how the fuck did they win all those
sure.
games?
Sure, yeah.
80s no,
he's very good at his job, but I think, like...
But he's never going to... Like, he is the one person. I'm like, he will never leave for another college football head coaching job. He just won't.
I mean, they might... He might have less power there. He might be out of his niche, right? Like, that's when people say, well, Dabo, like, hey, once Saban's gone, hey, Dabo will just slip right in there. And I'm like, why would he leave Clemson? He'll never be more valuable to anyone than he is to Clemson. And especially not right now, because all of his coaches are gone.
And his
all
AD,
of
and,
them.
And his AD and all
lay,
like that.
Lay low, Dabo.
Yeah. Dabo needs to just sit there and go like, hey, I got this, y'all. Right? Because I know the bottom can fall out fast for people, right? Especially when you lose everybody. But I'm not I want to identify this as a challenge for Clemson and for Dabo Swinney, because this is, if the emperor will be naked, it will be because he lost all of his assistants, including the one who was the architect of a defense which has been consistently great for the better part of a decade.
Excuse me, in South Carolina it's naked.
I'm sorry, naked. That naked emperor.
Naked emperor.
Without his vestments.
It should also be noted that a down year for Clemson ended up being 9-3, possibly 10 with a bowl. 9-3.
Yeah, they're like, likely to finish top 15. Like, oh God, what a collapse.
So yeah, like not a standard Clemson good year, but not nearly as disastrous as at least it appeared at one point.
Yeah. I don't know though, like Venables, though, is the problem isn't for him now. It's in 2 years, right? Because they're not going to be a Big 12 team. They will be an SEC team, and they will potentially suffer, going back to a full loop here, they will potentially suffer the same fate that Miami and Virginia Tech had, where they entered the ACC, and it was like, we're going to dominate! And they didn't.
But how much, like, I ask this really as a question. How much of that was... those two schools moved to a conference where the competition caught up to them, or was just, you know, pushed them down in the relative power order of things, versus like there are natural ebbs and flows, and this one happened to line up with, like, Miami not moving to the ACC doesn't change its problems, you know? Is, I guess, right. What I'm saying?
Because, like, Virginia the national recruiting landscape caught up to Miami.
Right.
It was going to happen regardless. And, like, I mean, Virginia Tech ran the ACC for several years there. Like, whenever Clemson or FSU are down, like, Virginia Tech's often one of the next ones up.
Right.
Well, I think it's also the daily lineup that you're going to face every single week for going from the Big East to the ACC.
That up know,
the all right, yeah, I don't know.
I mean,
yeah.
Like, we're talking about the 90s and the 2000s. The Big East or the ACC, that's a... there are years when the Big East is undoubtedly stronger.
All right, I feel a little bit better about saying this. Oklahoma going for the Big 12 to the SEC.
Yeah, okay.
That will be what I am talking about more than the Big East to the ACC, because
you're going to
lose two games, right? And this is one reason the SEC is eventually going to go and attempt to make a Super League. That's why.
You're in awesome shape if you lose two games.
Right? You'll be in great shape if you lose two games, because it's going to end up looking like, you know, it'll be like a 36-team Super League. That's what it's eventually going to end up looking like. And if that's the case, then you're going to have to get used to losing a bit more. Like, that's just the degree of competition is going to go up. You won't be able to pad your schedule with gimme games quite as much. That's just not going to be the deal.
So you're saying, like, there's a big risk here for Oklahoma and Texas being the guys who being the coaches at those schools as they go from a conference where, like, you kind of better go 11-1 to a conference where, like, 8-4. Hey, that's a good record.
Well, it's like
there's a risk to being the guy who has to break fans into that new reality.
It's like, okay, so let's say you have sleep deprivation. That's probably going to make you more inclined to gain weight, right? That's just like two things. You lose sleep, your body thinks you're starving, you're going to gain weight. Now, what if at the same time I said, okay, cool, we're going to move you to Mississippi while you have this problem, okay? It's going to exacerbate it. It's going to be, because every single day the lineup is going to be, whoa, I got to eat all this. Or I got to put it down. It's just going to be way tougher to face the problems that you already have maintaining expectations. That's,
I can't even go to the gas station without fried chicken without, being
without,
handed
without
to
without
me.
Without getting hit by fried chicken on a stick. Oh, no.
But, there I go to sleep 3 hours a night, wake up and eat chicken kebabs.
This is an interesting question because you're right. When Miami and Virginia Tech moved to the ACC, the expectation was, oh, they're going to run shit there. Nebraska moving to the Big Ten, I don't think the expectation was, oh, they're going to be the top dog, but it was certainly they're going to be in the Big Ten champ. They're going to play contend for a title more often than not. Yes, they will be in the Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State conversation. Wisconsin as well, but you know, whatever, hasn't happened. I don't know, like, we haven't, I don't think we've really, because of how quickly it happened and because of when it happened relative to the season starting, I don't really have a sense for what the expectations are for Oklahoma and Texas in the SEC, because like Missouri and A&M moved, and I don't think either of them would be like, oh, we haven't, like, we're pissed because we expected to win this. You know what I mean? Like, Mizzou's been to two SEC championship games. They have not been great lately, but I think that was true in the Big 12 as well. A&M, same thing. Like, what would you say the expectations are for these two schools when they join the SEC?
I mean, I view OU and Texas as probably being in the Auburn, LSU, Florida club.
Yeah.
Right?
Being next,
the expectations
being like
are
next
real
tier.
High. Yeah.
Yeah.
Second tier at worst. And I mean, A&M, as far as expectations, they lost their goddamn minds.
Right.
They gave Jimbo the contract that might have broken everything.
Right.
Like all the insane contracts flying around now. Like, yeah, they were first.
Well, and the problem is going to be when it's not the expectations coming in. It's once you have one glimmer of good. It's once you play one game where you're like, oh, we took Alabama to overtime, or we beat LSU in Baton Rouge, or we beat Georgia. Like, it doesn't matter if you don't win the division that year, don't play for, you know, don't win the conference, whatever. Once you do that, that sort of like sets the bar in a new and probably bad, like, like, it's not going to be fun to be A&M next year because they're going to look at the schedule and they'll be like, but we beat Bama last year. We've proven we can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I think long term, by the way, that point, that is like the most, like, that's the seeping poison in the brain of every A&M fan that they beat Alabama. Because let's think about it. If you'd gone 7-5 and you hadn't beaten Alabama, then you'd go, well, shit.
Right.
Had a rebuilding year. That's just going to happen with injuries and everything else that happened to this A&M team. It's a developmental year where obviously, like, I think actually the 10-year deal for Jimbo psychologically to me is a great move for the fans because they're like, long term.
Yeah, we got eight
big
more.
Mortgage.
Got
to pay
years.
It down. That's how we buy a championship. Big mortgage, pay it off, get that championship, right? And they just want one. They just want one. You hire Jimbo, you just want one. There's no expectations of another dynasty in the making. You didn't hire Saban. You didn't hire Urban Meyer. They're just like, let's just get one. Let's just get better and let's just get one. I think that was very helpful. What wasn't helpful was beating Alabama and then having this year.
Yeah.
Because now it's like, because now the ceiling is a little higher. Your expectations are a little higher. But the lows are the same lows you were given at a 7-5 rebuilding year.
And unlike when you did it, when A&M beat Bama with Johnny Manziel, you can't point to like, oh, magic wizard boy. Like,
right.
You know, you,
yeah,
like, there is
this time they did it with like, they weren't at their best. A&M
right.
wasn't.
No.
Right.
Yeah. And like, I talk about setting expectations here is, I think if everything plays out according to chalk, a pretty realistic scenario is Texas A&M is not only the only team that beat the national champ, they also have the number one recruiting class. Where are your expectations now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Got success, a lot of talent.
Success is a bitch. Don't recommend it. That's why we're on a podcast.
Jimbo's going back to Samford.
Listen, that's why you stay 7-5 like the shutdown full cast, right?
That's right.
All eligible. Yeah. Two games over 500.
Bowl
we're
eligible,
good,
but bowl banned.
Yeah. What are we doing? Playing Hawaii. That's what we're doing. We're just going to play Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
We're playing in the made-up 43rd bowl game.
The Texas Bowl to be named later.
Hastily assembled Frisco Classic.
They haven't put teams in that bowl yet, have they?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, did they?
Mm-hmm.
How did they pick that?
I mean, it's sort of a thing where, like, all the mid-major bowls, most of them at least, are very, like, interchangeable now. Because, like, half of them ESPN owns them. So, like, right. A lot of them is just like, hey, you two are available. Guess what? You're friends now.
Right. It's a play date in a very large daycare. Okay.
Good news. You guys are spending the holidays together. The Frisco Classic this year. It's interesting that we are having
to... How the fuck are you calling it the Classic when you just made it up 2 weeks ago?
Well, I think maybe the idea is that on December 21st is the Frisco Bowl. So by the time the 23rd rolls around, it's a Classic. Right. The teams in this game are Miami, Ohio, and... Spencer, your whereabouts on December 23rd, your Mean Green are due in Frisco. You better get these boys aware that they have a date that day. North Texas and Florida playing on the same day. That's going to be a hell of a day.
Spirit Airlines got our back. That's the official airline of the Mean Green. We got to pay extra if we want to wear pants on the plane. So we're all going pantsless.
That's right.
Just going to walk off in our jocks. Because our boys are comfortable like that. We just love each other. Also, comfortable with nudity. We've been doing a lot of work in the gym. We're just going to walk off playing nude. See what everybody does.
Speaking of comfortable.
Oh, my goodness.
Homefieldapparel.com.
Yes, sir.
By the time you listen to this ad, the 20% off flash sale will be over. So sorry about that. But good news. I'm going to help you out. This is a secret little code from me to you. Use offer code FULLCAST on your first order. You can still get 20% off. That's right. We've hacked the system, folks. We're in home field servers. We're getting deals for you that cannot be got elsewhere on all kinds of comfortable, stylish, varied logos that you won't find elsewhere for, I don't know, like, 180 schools, let's say. I don't know if that number's right, but it feels right.
I think if that's not right, then the pressure is on home field to make it right.
And like Coach Spencer Hall always says, it's more important to feel right than to be right.
That's correct. If you're gonna miss, I want you to miss big. And if you're gonna feel anyway, I want you to feel right. These are the coaching maxims of Coach Spencer Hall.
The two
of the now bowl eligible Mean Green.
Coach Hall's double maxim.
My double maxims.
This is also a helpful reminder that if your school is not, like North Texas, I regret to say, a home field school, go find online, not in person necessarily, the administration at your school and let them know politely but firmly that you'd like to be amongst the list, because it's a shame that we can't outfit you head to toe in some home field North Texas apparel, Spencer. Plenty of other Norths in here. North Dakota State, UNC, NCA&T, North Kentucky, but not North Texas.
Damn, Texas. You're behind Kentucky.
I want to let you all in on a little something, because I like to be transparent with my people. I know we do this podcast. I also coach the University of Texas, North Texas Mean Green, which is America.
Spencer took the Texas job. Oh, God.
Shit.
Oh, please. I wanted to thrive, so I went to Denton. If I wanted to kill my career, I'd go to the University of Texas. But I don't. I care. And I'm a lifer here in Denton, because I'm all about great football and smooth jazz. And full disclosure, if we win, which we will, I just feel like this team is playing so well right now, and really we've really come together for each other like an ensemble, rounding their way through the solos and into the coda. I think we're going to stick the landing on this number, so I'm going to receive a bonus by contract. All right, which I get those, their performance bonuses built in, and I want to announce that I am committing my $6,000 bonus for becoming bowl eligible as head coach of the University of North Texas Mean Green to my investment account at acorns.com, because I like to plan for the future, build for the future, but I need help doing it. And acorns.com is exactly what I need in order to make my money go further. Ain't that right, Jason?
That's right. If you, like Coach Hall, would like to make your own bowl bonus go further, you simply go to acorns.com/fullcast. where you'll receive a $5 starter boost to your own retirement fund. And then after that, you put money in it, such as a bowl bonus, or such as a 27-cent roundup from a 73-cent purchase. Did that math with some delay, but not much. And then those 27 cents go in, and they get invested in whatever. And then you have more money, because that's how investment works.
Think of it as redshirting your money, all right? Mm. Put a little aside, watch it grow and mature, and then you can put it into play where it's going to dominate. That's what investment is. Right now, I'm on the family plan. I do have, in addition to the invest later and bank options, where they give you the heavy-ass green card, just like the heavy-ass mean green football team, just as strong and just as reliable. I have the early account. And at this point in the ongoing evolution of my children's various investment ventures, my younger son, who has been embezzling freely from his account, has now started to steal. I'm just going to assume, by the way, that he's stealing from his older brothers. The older brother cannot pull this off. He's just not the type. It's not who he is. Right now, he has a $53 lead on investments on his older brother. So I assume there is a crypto play here, and that the $53 is simply being shuffled between the accounts to keep me from missing even more missing funds.
And yet you do nothing about it.
You know what? The feds don't strike immediately, do they? No, they wait.
Building a case.
I'm building an ironclad foolproof case here. I'm not going to go in until I have them dead to rights.
Okay, well, because you don't know if possibly you can turn one against the other, find even more devastating crimes.
Oh no, that
you never know how you never know
that
how
happens
deep
so
this
quickly.
Goes.
The prisoner's dilemma with my kids doesn't even get to the first stage.
Yeah, brothers rolling on each other is like that's not difficult to pull off.
That's so. I know. I love that when there are some fictional conceits where they're like, yeah, he'll never testify against his brother. Bullshit. That would happen so fast. Ryan, how fast would you testify against your brother in a federal case?
I'd ask for snacks. Mm. Like, I'd be like, hold on, I want, wait a second, you gotta buy me a nice lunch.
That's so weird. You'd even ask for snacks. I think most brothers would just be like, yeah, screw that guy.
I want something out of it, that's all.
The attorneys would just walk in after interviewing your mother, and they'd be like, hey, you remember that time he slapped you on the bus in third grade? You'd be like, he did it all! He did it all!
I hate him!
Your brother's whereabouts on the...
That motherfucker drew on my shoes when I was 2 years old. He did it all. All of it.
Never fills up my gas tank. Loser. Absolute loser. You're damn right he did insider trading. Lock whatever, his ass up.
Whatever you think he did, you're right.
How you like that, Chet?
Your brother's name is Chet?
It is now.
Okay.
I wouldn't be able to testify against my brother because he doesn't talk to anybody. They'd be like, so you're very close to your brother. Surely you know of his involvement in this crime ring. And I'm like, I learned his middle name 4 years ago. He didn't talk to anybody.
I can tell you about some shit he got into when we were 12.
Yeah. Not even then. He's just an actual bear on his hind legs. If you think I'm a bear on my hind legs, no, my brother is. My brother makes Ron Swanson look garrulous. He makes him look like a chatterbox.
As I understand it, Spencer, you have the look of a bear, whereas your brother has the personality as well.
No, he looks like one too. He looks
that's
like
what
one
I'm saying.
Too. He's yeah. He's like, you know, when you're like, oh, a grizzly, that's a big bear, and you're like, Kodiak over the hill. go look. That's a bigger bear. Yeah, he's the one who like lives in the garage, and his children and his wife open the door sometimes that are like food. That's what he does. He, too, could use the family plan from acorns.com. Because then
some home field pants.
And some home field pants. That's all that man needs. Ohio's breaking news, by the way. Ohio State's announced the hiring of Oklahoma State's Jim Knowles as defensive coordinator. That was fast. Because remember that. Ohio State did have defensive issues, especially with their Mr. Magoo of a defensive coordinator, Kerry Combs, who is the squintiest coach in America,
mm-hmm.
I would say. And rather than wait even 1 second for Buckeye fans to be like, so when are you going to get a real team? Oh, he hired. Okay, he hired another guy. Okay, cool. Thanks.
So let's see. Jobs still available. I know last week we solved all the coaching jobs, but somehow they've continued to open up. It looks like the power conference jobs open in Virginia and Oregon. And that's it.
A serious candidate allegedly for that Duke job. Jason Garrett. Jason
Duke?
Garrett.
It's not even showing up on here. Huh. CBS doesn't even list Duke. All right.
Former Giants offensive coordinator, recently fired from that job, and former head coach of the Dallas Cowboys during what I will call their 8-8 period.
Yeah.
Seems good.
Serious consideration.
Eight wins at Duke would be great.
Can you also get 8 losses? Let's see.
If you try.
If you make the playoff.
Is it not 8-8 as the plan? Is it 8 or 8? I will either win 8 games or I will lose 8 games every year.
Six and six at Duke is fine, too.
That's really good at Duke.
Yeah.
That's the Cutcliffe plan.
Build me a statue. We also have Oregon's open.
Yeah. And, like, I mean, it feels like the thing everyone leans toward is just go get Chip Kelly. Which, like, I don't know. You could. Is he still Chip Kelly? We still don't know.
We're not all that far removed from, like, UCLA columns being like, this hasn't worked. Chip Kelly has to be fucking done.
Yeah. 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 Like, every couple weeks they want to fire him. But he'll thrive back at his native environs.
It'll be just the same.
I guess. Yeah. It'll be just as cool as it was before.
What does Oregon have to do to keep a head coach? Like, I can't.
Stop hiring Florida men, for one thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Stop hiring people who want to go back to the East Coast.
Okay.
Don't. Because the last two coaches who did that are both predominantly East Coast guys. We need somebody who's more innately West Coast.
All right. So it's going to be Justin Wilcox then.
Yeah. Somebody who actually likes a quality of life. That's what you want, right? Because Mario Cristobal is clearly like, I'd like to be more stressed out. Let me go back to my home of Miami. Extremely stressful place.
I did like during the Spanish language portion of his presser, he was basically like, yeah, there wasn't a lot of opportunity to speak Spanish at Oregon. Damn. Wow. Did not expect that shot to be fired. Okay.
Just called the whole state super crackery.
I just know that there's somebody in like Earth Shoes within like distance of hearing this, right, from Oregon, who's like, I'm very hurt by that. I study it on my phone every day. I'm very multicultural.
There's two O's in Duolingo.
Yeah. I'm up to level 16. Hola.
Yeah, it's just, so this is a question that I think somebody posed that, Jason, you may not be prepared to answer at this point. Is this the blood week of coaching carousel seasons?
I mean, I don't know if blood week goes far enough.
Right.
Honestly.
But is there another that compares even close?
No, okay. No. I mean, I think just with Oklahoma and Notre Dame alone, and then like it's this, the cavalcades continue, like, what is it, 4 teams that have made the playoff that are making changes, at least, counting Oregon?
Right.
You know, yeah. Like, yeah, this shit is insane and broken. And, like, even for college football, this is fucked up.
I thought it was messed up, and then Miami did, but they did.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it was already messed up, and then it's like, okay, Miami's stealing Oregon's coach, and now Oregon's probably going to steal somebody else's coach. And, like, is there an end here? What happens if Virginia hires somebody's coach?
Part of why there is not, I think, and y'all can push back on me if you like here, is that normally the way coach carousel season proceeds is that jobs open up and, like, promising coach of a, let's call it, less resourced P5 school or a promising G5 school, they take the, like, this is how you get Mike Norvell taking the Florida State job. This is how you get Billy Napier taking the Florida job. But that's not happening. Like, Matt Campbell is not taking a job this year.
Yeah.
You know, Luke Fickell is not taking a job this year. There are, like, there has not been, because it hasn't happened through the traditional paths, and because there have not been a lot of other, I guess, sort of like interesting candidates that have sort of like had the heat on them, it kind of created this weird window of opportunity where like the choice was like, yeah, fuck it. I guess we'll just go get Lincoln Riley.
Yeah. It's like the like championship contender coach leaving for, call it a lateral-ish move. Like that's a once a decade or more thing.
Right.
And we had three this year.
Yes.
And like Cristobal, I don't even know if he's moving to a contender. Like, technically, he might be stepping down because he likes the place he's going.
Let us say
demonstrably no, right?
For the sake of online safety, let us say that he is.
Fuck safety. No, he's not going to that place.
Okay.
You can reach me at 38 Godfrey, at 38 Godfrey on Twitter.
This is the one time I feel bad about that.
Like, the last time something on the order of Brian Kelly or Lincoln Riley happened before Jimbo Fisher, it might have been fucking Jackie Sherrill leaving Pitt at the height of Pitt's power.
Right.
Like, and we just had it happen like boom, boom, boom. This Jackie is fucked Sherrill. Up, man. College football, Jackie Sherrill was, you got a fucked up problem.
Jackie and Sherrill it entertains was wise, me. Because he knew that Pitt had discharged its power. That super weapon had already fired, and he was like, time to leave the Death Star. Because it only gets blown up after this. Yeah, it's time to bail.
There are, right now, 13 Power 5 schools that will enter next year with a new coach. And like we've said, not all of them have been filled. So that number could expand.
And not all the coaching changes have taken place yet.
Right.
We could get retirements.
Right. I feel like we're probably. Yeah. No, we could. You're right. That happens.
I can think of, until Brian has sex, though.
So.
And as we know, that's not going to happen anytime soon.
So listen, if you are in the Iowa City area, and
what bowl game are they going to? Maybe that'll be helpful.
it's the Citrus. I believe they're going to play Kentucky.
Okay.
In the Citrus Bowl.
Kentucky
One
fans?
Of those.
Yeah, that is correct.
So if you're in the Orlando area and you would like to meet a nice boy.
A wealthy boy.
A wealthy, burly boy. Brian Ferentz is going to be in the area. And you can desperate. Go. You can have a lovely evening of romance and intrigue with him. And then he will grow to three times his normal size and beat up his dad and take his spot at the throne of Iowa football.
Like, this is how weird it's now become. Dave Doran is the second longest tenured coach in the ACC.
He's been there forever. He's Matt been there so much longer than I remembered. Like
Matt Campbell,
years?
This was his eighth year, yes.
Yeah.
Matt Campbell is the second longest tenured coach in the Big 12.
That's fucked up. Iowa State's supposed to be the one firing its coach every year.
James Franklin is the third longest tenured coach in the Big Ten.
Trying to leave the entire time.
Justin Wilcox is the third longest tenured coach in the Pac-12.
Oh, that's messed up.
Chip Kelly and Herm Edwards are like tied for fourth.
The Iron Man, Herm.
Jimbo Fisher is the fourth longest tenured coach in the SEC.
This is all fucked up.
So wrong.
And I'm just sort of scanning here casually, but like, if you can change this to the other conferences, and it doesn't like meaningfully move all that much, like it's kind of true no matter what conference you look at. Or where, like Luke Fickell is currently fourth in the American. Dana Holgerson is like the fifth oldest tenured coach in that.
No, that seems right. That seems
the rock of stability.
Who's the guy who's like, yeah, still here, still alive.
Well, and that's the other fucked up thing is you look at a lot of the still here guys. It's like, yep. Scott Satterfield and Jeff Collins still work for those teams.
Still hanging on. for Dino, a few more months.
Dino Babers is still at Syracuse. They'll probably keep going there, but like there aren't of the people who are still there. It's like, yes, Kyle Whittingham obviously doing great at Utah. David Shaw at Stanford. Oh, yeah. Okay. Sure.
This
like yeah. When here's what I need you to understand. When Nick Saban quits, if everything else stays the same, Mark Stoops will be the tenured gentleman in SEC football. and has signed a contract that will make that continue to be the case.
Like, the tenured Kentucky gentleman, sir.
Like, I really appreciate that Mark Stoops is following so much of the Kirk Ferentz pattern, including a contract which is basically like, make a bowl game and we'll just add a couple years to your contract, whatever.
Yep.
But because it's Kentucky and because it is usually more watchable than Iowa football, it's fine.
Well, there's that, and there's also from Kentucky fans, I don't get the sense that they spend half the time hating it. Like, right. Iowa fans with Ferentz, it's like, we fucking hate this guy, but you can't talk about him.
Right.
No, Kentucky no, no,
fans,
yeah.
Kentucky fans seem to get it. Like, they seem to get, like, 8-4, that's really good for us.
Yes. Yeah. No, yeah. By and large, Kentucky fans have one of the healthiest relationships with their football team.
I guess because all their toxic feelings are taken up by another sport.
Yeah.
I think it's because basketball is where they turn into Mr. Hyde.
But right? you'll see them. They're just like, I am happy that I have a team that like is enjoyable to watch more often than not. And it's like, that's a very healthy way to look at it.
Kentucky sad that we're like, embrace the wisdom and tranquility
of
Lexington.
Yeah, but again, we can only do that because they're like, my kill room is for basketball. Mm-hmm. The clean, nice, normal space with families out here.
Plastic sheets are in there.
Basketball's where I put my bad feelings.
Basketball's where I turn my bad things into beauty.
God, yeah. Off-season Michigan's going to be awesome.
No matter what.
No matter
what. No matter what.
No matter what.
No matter what.
No matter what.
It's
going to
be incredible either way. Oh, my God. I do love, though, that Jim Harbaugh gets his comeuppance and wins a Big Ten title, because now it validates all the crazy. It validates all of it.
Is that what comeuppance means? I always thought comeuppance was like, oh, finally, you piece of shit. You've received what you deserve, but in a bad way.
I thought you were
going to say, man thing
having
to correct me on this,
having to play Georgia was his comeuppance.
Oh, I see.
That will be his comeuppance. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
But this is a validation of every insane thing that Jim Harbaugh ever did.
Okay.
Yeah. All of it, right? Sleeping over at a punter's house.
Yes.
Drinking far more milk than an adult should actually ever drink. Right, every single day, wearing the bad pants, making bizarre press conferences after losses where he responds monosyllabically, running routes at baptisms, right? Like, all of it, it's all completely validated. There will be no stopping him, as if there was any.
Yeah, but I will. That's the real key. Is there was not. If Listen, anything, man. He'll be like, I'll take a bigger pay cut next year. That inspires the team.
He really might. He really might.
Pay me a dollar. We'll be champions forever.
You could see him just having a tantrum doing that and then coming home and his wife's like, what?
Did you do?
I'm coaching next year for $17.
He's the one where I almost wonder if he knows he's paid. You know, like it goes into an account. Someone has access to it. He doesn't care. He's just I wake up every morning. I have a new pair of pants, a new pair of shoes. Who's got it better than us?
Nobody.
Every morning I wake up and I have a breakfast steak and I go to work and I think about football for 19 hours. And then I have my dinner steak and I sit and wait and then it's time to go to work.
Why do I feel like Jim Harbaugh looks at each of his children every single day and just says their name? That's how he interacts with them.
Tom! Jack!
And they love it. Like, this is how he was raised, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Old Jack Harbaugh would say, Jim!
Yeah, just look
John!
John!
Boys adored it. Ate it up. Couldn't get enough.
And probably say something real Midwestern to him, right? Like, now y'all get along. You guys get along. Just go skedaddle.
Figure it out.
if he beats Georgia.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, he'll be unkillable.
Stop praying for my grandpa tweet.
I'm getting fully nude, okay, for that. Full. I just want you to know, the minute that happens, wherever I am, I am stripping off every piece of clothing I own and rolling on the floor laughing. That is what I will do. Like, naked is the day I was born.
Can you imagine the sour potato salad face Kirby Smart is going to make if he loses to fucking Michigan?
Oh my God.
Coach.
The handshake!
Coach,
you got a great team there, Kirby. Please let me go. Let me go.
Harbaugh encouraging Kirby. Yeah, and then Kirby having to sit there and hear like, so Coach, your 5-star team lost to the exact same version of itself that is a 4-star team. Why did you do that, Coach?
Value. That's why.
Why can't you find a quarterback?
Coach Smart, why didn't you try morals?
Like Cade McNamara.
Coach Smart, do you think maybe you might have overlooked, I don't know, a little thing called dignity?
I just want to go.
Should you maybe study harder a little in the classroom?
I just want to go cry in my truck. That's all I want to do.
Coach Kirby, why doesn't football matter as much to Georgia? Tom Crean has to go on campus after his fucking brother-in-law beat be fully nude.
He's walking in.
My God, his pants have never been bigger.
Listen up,
dude. Harbaugh's gonna show up. Harbaugh's gonna be on the sideline. Just wanted to see a Georgia game. How you guys doing?
Just wanted to show these fans what a championship ring looks like.
Just stretching
and like with him, as weird as he is, he's not even being passive aggressive with it. No. He literally thinks, I thought they'd want to look at it.
Yep, it's pretty cool. Anyway,
but they're pelting me with hot dogs, nevertheless, which is a local custom.
Free dinner.
I am eating them as quickly as I can, but I'm all out of milkshakes.
Just sitting in the front row asking the Georgia VIP people, the ambassadors, like, you got any milk? I could use a huge thing of milk down here courtside. It'd be great.
I'm like, I hate him so much. He's so weird.
He's so goddamn good at coaching football.
I don't think the playoff committee understands what they've done, because if Georgia played Cincinnati and lost, it would have been like, you know, we'll write that off as like incredible Cinderella, blah, blah, blah. They played Bama again and lost. You know, already seen it. But if they lose to Michigan, it's just, oh my God. Like, just call the cable company tomorrow and say, I don't need an internet connection for 8 months. Please.
I like if Bama loses to Cincinnati, I cannot wait for the they just weren't motivated. Their hearts weren't in it.
It's sure. The fucking playoff.
Yep. Yeah, you can say that all you want, but it was a bowl game. It was just a bowl game. Mm-hmm. Those don't count.
God, listen, I'm not predicting this. But if we got a Cincinnati-Michigan national championship game, oh my God, SEC Media Days next year is going to be like a fucking funeral.
Oh no, but not a
no,
funeral.
No,
that's
no,
good,
no,
brother.
Because look who's here to save the day. It's Steve Sarkisian's Longhorns.
They'll move it up. Listen, if both teams lose, they'll move up the OU and Texas thing a year. They'll be like, yeah. Nope.
Not
nope,
just that. They'll add Ohio State.
Yeah. That, and then Michigan would beat him again. Beat Ohio State in the playoff.
The Michigan rain has begun.
How did we get to this strange place where we're talking about Michigan stunting on everyone and Notre Dame is cool? What the fuck happened this year?
It's great. Dude, honestly, as soon as Brian Kelly left, I very sincerely thought, like, I don't know if I've ever actually hated Notre Dame. I know the propaganda my entire life. I was indoctrinated to hate Notre Dame, but like as soon as Brian Kelly's gone and he's replaced by a young guy, you know, who represents a whole lot of people, I'm like, I don't have a problem with any. Like, fine. It turns out I never hated Notre Dame.
Whether or not he succeeds at LSU, he's going to have such a bad time. Such an aggressively bad fucking time.
Well, the humidity, for one.
Sure.
That might kill him.
Like
the name that
he's gonna lose to Mississippi State or some shit, and it's gonna be bad.
He's gonna lose a game that he can't process.
Like if you're at Notre Dame and you lose to USF, a thing that they did, like Regis makes one snide comment at 10 in the morning. And, like, Mike in the morning is a little grumpier than usual. If you lose to Mississippi State at LSU, like, they come up with entire new radio stations to scream. Like, they file with the FCC. W fuck Brian Kelly. That's what we need. Give us the rights.
WFBK.
We're streaming 24 hours a day.
Outside
until
his house.
He leaves.
Our location is wherever that motherfucker lives.
Yeah.
I also like how he's doing a great job of managing expectations. He had his little intro on the floor of their basketball court. This was the one, of course, where he revealed his southern accent.
Family.
The very first thing he said there was, "I haven't even won all my games yet.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So 12-0.
Oh my god.
Is your year one expectation that you have declared?
It's just
declared.
Yeah. Yes, thank you.
Declared. We've decided to call him L'Aubergine because that man is colored like an eggplant once he starts yelling. "Oh, L'Aubergine, you're gonna lose to Mississippi Station. We ain't gonna have that."
Like Lincoln Riley's probably gonna have a fine time, right?
Oh, sure.
He'll be. Listen, life's already great.
I mean, Lincoln, the way I view it, his situation is like, all right, all these Bryce Young, Matt Corral, you know, all these quarterbacks, like, at least one of those guys is going to stay home.
Yeah.
Every 3 years, he's going to pick up one of those guys. Right. He's doing pretty awesome. Like, the fourth hardest team he plays is going to be from the state of fucking Arizona. He's doing pretty great.
Mario's going to have a great time because even if Miami's not good, he's going to be like, "You're out of money. What are you going to, like, too fucking bad."
Yeah.
But Brian Kelly is gonna be fun.
I like people who are like, "Man, why would he leave Oklahoma?" You know what Lincoln Riley did today? He woke up and no one recognized him. No one. Like, it's great.
He went to a press conference with like 15 people standing quietly around. Meanwhile, Oklahoma fans like overran the airport for Brent Venables.
Yes, he's perfect, man, because like we all agree that's like, oh, that's a top 10 job, and like apparently they got fucking they still got the fucking money, and like you could win, you know, it in the Pac-12, like, okay, they're either number one or number two in terms of like the schools you could picture winning a national title, and yet no one really gives a shit. It's awesome.
No,
you're like 19th on the list behind those. Someone's mad about the damn Rams or whatever,
you know? Nobody's mad about the Rams.
No. They're like they're infuriated over the Dodgers.
There's
like,
more people mad. I'm saying there's more people mad about the fucking Clippers than there is about USC.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Well, yeah. because as you saw this season, when you're mad about USC, you just like erase them from your calendar. Like nobody went. When fans are mad at you at other schools, they will go and boo and yell and get mad even at the results that they expected. Like, they will still show up and be like, "How dare you fucking lose to whoever?" But at USC this year, they were just like, "Fuck that. I'm not going." Mm-hmm. Some of the crowd shots of the Coliseum this year were like, "Cool. There are 3,000 people here, and I couldn't promise you that all of them are human and not Chuck E. Cheese characters." Antioch the Birthday Spider, longtime season ticket holder at USC.
There he was, Clay Helton, wondering like, "Am I gonna get through this? Am I gonna get another whole season of paychecks?" But then he looked, and he saw, and there dangled Antioch the Birthday Spider, who uttered, "No, Clay, your time is done. You've hidden from me far too long."
I knew it'd be you, Antioch.
Well, well, well. Antioch.